and powerful and sharper. Everyone say sharper. Than any what? Two-edged sword. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings, someone say, all these blessings shall come on thee and shall overtake thee if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 28 down to verse 15. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. The whole chapter of Deuteronomy 28 sets forth blessings if we obey the word of the Lord. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. And then it swaps at verse 15. It says, but if you don't hearken to the word of the Lord, then all these curses will come upon you. You'll be the tail and not the head. You'll be cursed in the field, cursed in the city. It's exactly the opposite. And finally, back to the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 8. And James says very emphatically, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Two-edged sword, double-minded man, blessings and cursings. And this morning, with the help of God's Spirit, Pastor wants to talk to you. I don't think we'll get through all of this stuff this morning. This is not a series. We may finish in 5 minutes. We may take 3 weeks. I really have no idea with this. But very critical information, because this morning we want to talk about the purpose of God and the purpose of Satan for your life. The purpose of God and the purpose of Satan for your life. And here's the secret. They are identical. The purpose of God for your life is exactly the same as the purpose of Satan for your life, but with drastically different results. The Word of God that we preach from and that we teach from and that you held in your hand if you brought your Bible this morning, that Word is like a two-edged sword. Depending on what side of the sword you fall on, that Word can either be your greatest blessing or your greatest curse. It can bless you or it can curse you. It can make you live or it can make you die. It can make your life incredibly fulfilling and rewarding, or it can make your life incredibly difficult. But it's dependent on what you do. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He has two minds. He thinks one way on Monday and another way on Tuesday. He thinks one way when he's in church and he thinks another way when he's at work. He thinks one way when he's around a certain kind of people and one way when he's around a different kind of people. He's unstable. He's a double-minded man. Now, God has a purpose for your life. We've heard a lot in Christian circles over the last 5 years about God's purpose for our life. A pastor named Rick Warren from Southern California wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. It's been a number one bestseller. A lot of people have been talking about God's purpose. But did you realize that God's purpose and the devil's purpose are exactly the same for your life? Exactly identical. Now, here's part one. God wants you to do this, and the devil wants you to do this. God wants you to think like he does. God wants you to think like him. But you know what? The devil wants you to think like him. Just turn to the person next to you. This won't get too uncomfortable. Say, God wants me to think like him. Rhubarb. Turn to another person who is infinitely more receptive than that dud and say, God wants me to think like him. That's a little better. Now, we know Christians are supposed to think like God. And we know people in the world are supposed to think like the world. They're supposed to think like the devil. The Bible calls him the prince and power of the air. The number one problem that most Christians face is that they keep switching back and forth between mindsets. A lot of Pentecostals, let's pick on them because that's us. A lot of Pentecostals are like this. When they're in church and the music's going and everybody around them's raising their hands and the preacher's up there kind of hollering at them, they can think like God in that atmosphere. But as soon as they leave this building or a service like this, then they begin to be influenced by everything around them and they swap mindsets, and so they begin to think like the world around them, which in effect is to think like Satan. Now, you've got to choose whether you're going to think like God or think like Satan. You either think like the one who created you or you think like your worst enemy. One or the other. And James said, a double-minded man who keeps shifting gears and slipping back and forth and switching mindsets, he's unstable in all of his ways. He just cannot get it together. Proverbs 23, verse 7, as he thinks in his heart, next three words, so is he. If you think it, then you're going to be like that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the first word of that verse? Let. It means to allow to happen. Allow the mind of Christ to be in you. Allow the thoughts of the Lord to be in you. Allow the thinking of God to be in you. Somebody shout out, let. You got to let that happen. Now, how do you know if you're thinking like God? You got to figure this out. If it's important for you to think like God, how in the world do I know if I'm thinking like God? Well, there's a good and very clear answer. If you think like this, then you think like God. Because this is the Word of God. So if you think like this book, the Bible, then you are thinking like God. God didn't leave us in a quandary to try to figure out how to think like Him. God just said, if you'll think like my Word, you're thinking like me. And so that's what we've got to do, is we've got to get the Word of God in our minds. And this is where we mess up. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the prophet said, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know the Word of God, you can't think the Word of God. And if you're not thinking the Word of God, you're not going to be living the Word of God. And so it's very, very important. You can be destroyed. You know this if you've ever bought something from a salesman that wasn't quite on the up and up. You can be destroyed by what you don't know. How many would be a witness of that with like an old relic car or something? You can be destroyed by what you didn't know about what you bought. Well, folks, you can be destroyed by what you don't know about the supernatural. You can be destroyed by what you don't know about your destiny after this life. You can be destroyed by what you don't know about God who created you. You can be destroyed by that. Or you can be incredibly blessed by that. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You say, but Pastor Raymond, I know people that read the Bible, and they're not even Christians. They read the Bible, so it can't be just reading the Bible. You know, that's very astute. You're very bright to think that, because that's absolutely true. I know lots of people that read the Word of God. Some of them can't even quote you scriptures, but some of them aren't even Christians, and some of them, they call themselves Christians, but if you've ever met them, you know that there's a big gap between what they say and how they live. Well, there's a very good reason for that, because this book is not understood like you understand calculus or physics or chemistry or engineering. This book is it's understood differently. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. God has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, that's speaking of the printed Word of God, the law of God, which was written, not of the letter, but of the what? Of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So if you want to understand this book, you need something beside just cracking it open and reading it like you'd read Shakespeare. Do you know what you really need? You really need God's Spirit to illuminate His Word to you. You really need God's Spirit to touch your mind so that you can think like God when you read His Word. God designed you to think like He does. God designed your life to operate according to His principles. And when you don't do that, everything just kind of starts to break down. But you need more than just a Bible. You need the Bible and you need God's Spirit to help illuminate that Word, because the letter alone will kill you. You'll read the Bible and you'll think, I can't do that. I can't even figure that out. But when you read the Bible through God's Spirit that operates in you, you think, man, this is the way to live. This is blessing on my life. It's totally different. Now, a long passage here. If you've got your Bible, open to 1 Corinthians 2, because I want to follow down through here. This is Paul talking about this spiritual thinking, this godly thinking. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Paul said, we speak wisdom among them that are mature. But we don't speak the wisdom of the world. We don't speak the wisdom of the princes of this world, because that comes to naught. It ends up coming to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Notice this, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. The brightest, most intellectual, most creative minds in human history, they did not understand this knowledge. Because had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know what the most intelligent minds of Jesus' day did? They banded together and they crucified God, who had come in flesh to redeem them and forgive them of their sins. They killed the cure. But thank God, 3 days later, it was all in God's plan, and He rose from the dead. And had the devil understood that, he would never have allowed the crucifixion. Here's the devil rooting for the crucifixion. Kill him. Stamp him out. Knock out the Messiah. The death blow. He didn't realize that he was playing right into the hands of God. They wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. How many have ever heard that verse quoted at a funeral? Would you lift up your hand? I have. I've probably quoted it at funerals. But that is not a funeral verse. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We normally quote that verse and we think, man, when we get to heaven, there's things there that our eyes haven't seen. There are things in heaven that our ears haven't heard. There are things in heaven that haven't even entered into our imagination. And God's prepared it all. You know what? Granted, we'll take 5% on heaven. But look at the very next verse. But God hath, past tense, revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Do you realize that right now, while you're living here on earth, little old terra firma, in your little old normal 9-to-5, Monday to Friday life, God has things by His Spirit that He wants to reveal to you that your eye hasn't even seen what God would like to do in your life. Your ear has never heard the things that God would like to give to you. It hasn't even entered into your wildest imagination how God would like to bless you. It's never even occurred to you. God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit, because the Spirit searches all these wise things, the deep things of God. Let's skip on down to verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's where Christians derail a lot. They try to understand spiritual things by natural principles, and they don't always jive. In fact, hardly ever. In God's kingdom, the way to go up is to humble yourself. In God's kingdom, the way to receive is to give. In God's kingdom, the way to be great is to be the least. So it works exactly backwards to the way you think Monday to Friday, 9-to-5, at your job. On your job, you're supposed to perform so you can get rewarded. In God's kingdom, He's already performed every good work, and He that has begun a good work in me is able to finish that work. So it's not about my performance, it's about what God has already done. It's incredibly different. Look at the next verse. But the natural man, everyone say me. Everyone shout out, me. That's the only time you get to be selfish today. The natural man receives not the things of God. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. Why? Plain and simple. Flat out in your face. Because spiritual things like what we are in this morning in this service, they are foolishness to your natural man. They are foolishness to your brain. They are foolishness to your intellect. They are foolishness to your degreed intelligence. They are foolishness to all of your training and expertise and history and experience. Spiritual things are foolishness to your natural man. To the natural man, it makes sense to arrive at a religious service to put total stock in what you receive through your mind. If I can just kind of, you know, if somebody can tell me something that will impress me with their brilliance or the class of this group of people or the intelligence of this congregation, then I might think about, you know, maybe becoming part of this church. You've totally missed the point. And I think we should try to be clear. I think we should try to use our intelligence. And I certainly think we should present present the gospel with excellence. But when that's all said and done, and when we've done everything natural human beings can do, there is a degree of the Spirit, there is a degree of understanding, there's a degree of thinking that you will never understand by your natural mind. It makes sense to the natural mind to say, I am tired this morning, I really don't think I need to put forth any extra energy to worship God. I really don't think when He says, lift up your hands, I really think they'll get along just fine if there's one less person over here lifting up their hands. I really think when He says, lift up your voice to the Lord, that I can just pass on that because that really doesn't matter to me. I can praise God in my heart. In fact, I'll shove God so far deep down in my heart, nobody will ever notice any difference between me and anybody else. But God refuses to be put in your little box. And there are things of the Spirit that you only get when you operate by the Spirit. And so here's how it works. Your natural man says, I'm tired, I don't want to bother, that's pushing too far, that's kind of ridiculous. But the spiritual man says, I am so sold out to God's thinking that if God's Word says, shout to the Lord, I'm going to shout. And if God's Word says, clap your hands, I'm going to clap my hands. And if God's Word says, worship Him in spirit and in truth, I'm going to thank Him for truth. But I'm going to get my spirit underneath that truth, and I'm going to let God hear, hey, I'm down here today, and God, I want to operate by your principles. Totally different way of thinking. He cannot know these things because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Ghost is not given Pentecostals just to make you speak in tongues. And we do speak in tongues. You'll hear probably somebody near you, they'll be praising God and you'll think they're not speaking English. No, they're not. They're speaking in other tongues. It's a spiritual experience. It's in your Bible. You can check it out. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians. Read through that. You'll see all kinds of references to it. It's a spiritual experience. It's still for you today. It's still for every person. God would like to give them that supernatural experience. But the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit, is not just given to make us speak in another language, although that's a wonderful experience. The main reason the Holy Ghost is given to you is so you can think like God. So your mind is changed, and the rest of your life will be impacted and empowered and changed by the Spirit of God. Most of us struggle because we try to use our natural mind to understand the things of God. When you try to figure out a service like this, or you try to figure out a sermon, or you try to figure out the moving of God's Spirit with your natural mind, folks, that is an insult to God. That's like letting a 2-year-old try to teach you how to drive your car. It doesn't work. Sweet little honey can't teach you anything about driving a car. They have no experience. Your natural mind can't give God any better suggestions about how to run His kingdom or run a service. That's why when we have church, we just worship God until we feel like God has shown up in His manifested presence. Don't make any mistake. God's everywhere. He's out in the parking lot. He's over at the ball fields. He's downtown. He's uptown. He's on the university campus. He's in the mall this afternoon. He's everywhere. But He doesn't manifest Himself everywhere. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if somebody will give vent to the Spirit of God that's in them, there's a great liberty that arrives, and there's a great spiritual dimension that arrives. And I'm sorry, you can't figure it out with your degree from St. Thomas or UNB. You can't figure it out with an engineering degree. You can't figure it out with political science. You can't figure it out with all of your education. But you can figure it out in 2 seconds. If you open up your heart and let God touch you, and you reach up and touch God. That's why we're different around here. That's why our services are a little different around here. That's why sometimes it feels like we're not even in control. Guess what? We're not in control. God's in control. He runs His church. He runs His kingdom. He runs this planet. You get to choose who you think like. I choose to think like God. I think it's wonderful when this happens. I think it's wonderful when people stand at their feet. That didn't interrupt us. That pushes us forward. That doesn't slow us down. That speeds up the process. The natural mind, he doesn't get that. The spiritual mind, he understands that. Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is what? See, that's that one side of the sword. That's that double-minded man. To be carnally minded, to figure everything out with your natural mind, that's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Because the carnal mind is enmity. That means it wars against God. It is hostile to God. You think you're a really nice person, and we do too. Congratulations. But your natural mind is hostile to the things of God. Your natural mind loves to be in control. It is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. See, there's a lot of Christians today that they think, well, I can figure this thing out. I can figure out a relationship with God. I can figure out how to move in a service. I can figure out this worship thing. I can figure it all out. And they think they've got it all figured out. But the Bible says right there, your natural mind, not only is it hostile to God, I know what some of you are thinking, well, my natural mind used to be hostile to God. But I've sat in this pew so many years that it has actually taken the form of certain parts of my anatomy. And also, I have soaked up enough of God's presence that it has totally changed me. And now my natural mind is so spiritual that it's more spiritual than most people. You are only fooling yourself because God knows different. And you know what? So do we. Your natural mind cannot figure out the things of God. It is hostile to God. Neither indeed can it be. You don't do this to yourself. You cannot say, well, here's my spiritual thinking and here's my natural thinking. I'm going to blend them all together and we're going to just kind of present that to God. The Bible says your natural mind cannot be subject to the law of God. Christians, listen to me. Your natural mind cannot subject itself to this. You have to shift gears. You have to switch allegiance. You have to switch loyalty. You have to switch kingdoms. You have to switch lifestyles. You have to shift thinking. God wants me to think like He does. You see, if I can figure something out, then I can control it. You mechanical people, you know this. If I can figure out an engine, I can control it. I can figure out what's wrong with it. I can get the new part. I can put it in. I can control what happens. You people with degrees, you know this. You study principles and you study people and you study certain situations and subjects. And if you can understand it, you can control it. You scientific people, you know this. You have an experiment. You put two elements together and they react in a predictable way. If you can figure it out, you can control it. But faith doesn't operate like that. When you shift to becoming a Christian, you have to shift into a different thinking to understand the kingdom of God. Because faith says, God understands it. God controls it. I don't have to figure it out. I'm God's. His kingdom works differently than my job. It's totally different. I don't need to control it. How many of you have ever met a person who you would say, through your gift of spiritual discernment, you would say they have a spirit of backseat driving? Would you raise your hand? I see multiple hands. Some of you are holding up three hands. I'm not sure how you're doing that. How many of you have ever met a backseat driver? How many are seated beside? Oh, never mind. Some backseat drivers sit in the front seat where they can backseat drive from a position of more power and influence. The problem with a backseat driver in the front seat is they also have, you know, easy reach to the driver. It just works that way. Now, a lot of people are backseat drivers in their relationship with God. They're always telling God, like, God, I don't think you did that one really good. And God, I think we could probably do better on this. God, I think it would work a whole lot different if you could just, and they're always trying to figure that out. For example, in this building right now, there are people who have experienced incredible hurts. For one reason or another. Some of you, you've experienced hurts at your own hand. You've experienced hurts from other people in your past. Some of you, you've experienced hurts in recent days from somebody. Who in the world can figure out the hurts that we experience in life? Who in the world can figure that out? Now, the carnal mind... Come on back to the music. The carnal mind wants revenge for hurts. The carnal mind wants to get vengeance, wants to extract justice. And so people that think like Satan, you see, Satan and God, they have the same purpose for your life. God wants you to think like him, but the devil, he wants you to think like him. And the devil thinks revenge. The devil thinks vengeance. The devil thinks repayment. The devil thinks justice. The devil thinks I'm going to get them back. The devil thinks I hope God hurts them because they hurt me. That's the devil's thinking. And everybody you know out there pretty much thinks like that. Even if they're a nice person and they hide it, really, that's how they think. Here's a weird scripture. This is going to mess you up this morning. Because in hurts, the carnal mind will demand revenge or at least demand an explanation. Some of you, you'd say, well, I don't want revenge on them, but I sure do want God to explain why this happened to me, but it didn't happen to them. This happened in my family, but it didn't happen in their family. This person grew up like that, and I had to grow up like this. This person had a wonderful life so far, and I've got abuse, and I've got a past, and I've got hurts, and I've got problems, and I maybe don't want revenge, but I sure do want an explanation. Now, this is going to blow your mind. But the spiritual mind, when faced with hurts, does something totally different. Let me read it to you instead of me just telling you. Matthew chapter 5, the words of Jesus, verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, rejoice, and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are you when you're faced with hurts. And if you're faced with hurts, the carnal mind says, God, I want revenge. God, I want an explanation. And the spiritual mind says, I have not a clue why God allowed that. But I'm going to rejoice in the middle of it because God must be up to something because I'm His child. And the Bible says no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. So that's my book. That's my Bible. That's my God. And that's how God thinks. God never once has thought, I'm going to hurt them. God has never once thought, I'm going to destroy them. God has never once thought, I want to curse them and make their life miserable. God, when He looks at His kids, is the same as you looking at your kids. I hope they do really well in life. I hope that they're happy. I hope that they can succeed. And so anything that God has allowed in your life that you don't understand, your carnal mind will demand an explanation. Your carnal mind will want revenge on anybody that has hurt you. But if you can just shift gears, that's the devil's purpose for your life. Wallow yourself in your past and in your self-pity and in your problems and in your history and in all your pain. Just go and wallow in it. Go get counseling. Let somebody sit and let you go through it and rehearse it once a week, 11 to 12, for a solid hour. Pay them $150. And I'm not slamming counselors. There's some great ones out there. But while you are thinking on those terms, God is thinking on these terms. I only allowed that because they can't see the end. There's a blessing in the problem. There's a blessing in the pain. There's a blessing even from the past. It just hasn't got to the turn in the road yet. That's how you think like God. Man. I'm going to finish here. The second thing that God wants you to do. God wants you to think like Him. And the devil wants you to think like him. They are exactly the same. And the second way they're exactly the same is that God wants you to perceive like He does. And the devil wants you to perceive like he does. It takes one step further beyond thinking, because thinking is remembering things. Thinking is acknowledging things. But perceiving is how you interpret things. And one flows right into the other. If the devil can get you to think like he does, then he can get you to interpret everything that's ever happened to you the way he wants. The devil can get you to interpret your hurts like, well, God was out to get me, or the church didn't love me, or somebody, they weren't, you know, they did something that's irreparable in my life. Can I tell you this? There is nothing irreparable in the life of a child of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. A righteous man, he can fall, but he gets back up. A righteous man, he can stumble, but God's right there, just waiting for you to look up and lift up your hand, and God's waiting to pick you up and stand you up and just give you a pat on the back and say, keep going. We fall down and we interpret that through the way the devil wants us to interpret it. We perceive what's going on. Well, I guess I'm no good. I guess I really can't do this. I guess I'm really so weak. God must hate me. The church must despise me. Everybody else must be laughing at me. And all the time, God is thinking, no, perceive it like I perceive it. Interpret it like I interpret it. You fell, but I'm going to take that vessel that was marred and I'm going to make it again, just like a potter would do for the clay. That's what God's saying to somebody. You are not primarily a man or a woman. Listen to Pastor. You're not primarily a man or a woman. You are primarily a spirit being. Listen. You are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. You're only going to be here for 70 or 80 or 90 years. Sister Hannington went on to her reward yesterday morning real early. It looks like dear little Sister Arbo may not be far behind her. She is very, very sick in the hospital. We were in there yesterday. You know what she said? She said, I am so happy, Pastor. I'm ready either way. Either way's victory. You know why? Because she perceives that like she's supposed to perceive it. Yes, there's a loss. Yes, there's an emptiness. Yes, there's a loneliness for all of us that are left behind. But none of us are going to be here in 100 years from now. We're all going to be somewhere for eternity. So would you perceive it like God perceives it? Whatever happened in your life this week, whatever happened in your life 20 years ago, would you stop letting it kill you? Would you stop letting it hold you down? Would you stop letting it crush you? And would you stand to your feet and say, I am a child of God. Nothing gets to me except through the hand of God. Nothing gets to me except through the knowledge of my Heavenly Father. So I'm going to perceive like God perceives. Lift up your voice and give God praise in this place. You say, I don't understand what we're doing right now. Your spiritual man does if you'll let him loose. I don't understand why we're doing this. Your spiritual man does if you'll let him out. Your spiritual man knows that right now there's a freedom in this place. Your spiritual man knows that if you could just get your ego out of the way, if you could just get your personality out of the way, if you could just get your hang-ups out of the way, and if you could just let your spiritual man connect with God, your spiritual man knows it, that you could be different after this service than you've ever been before. You could be freer after this moment than you've ever been before. Your spiritual man instinctively knows that. You know what's holding you back? Your pride, your ego, your past, your knowledge, your carnal mind, your intellect, your education, your emotions. That all holds us back. But he that the Son has set free is